I want to start off this morning doing this. My mom and dad both passed, I think, within the last year and a half. And it makes you start thinking of heaven. And I remember talking to my dad before he passed, and we knew it was close. And he was worried about, whether we were going to be okay. So he used to, one of my nephews was just finishing up medical school. And I remember he came down to do an internship at the lake. And I remember he came by the house, and my dad slipped him $2 for lunch. Come on, somebody. Wanted to make sure he had lunch money. And, my mom at the end, when a storm would come through, and I heard a song that really reminded me of that. I remember reading a story of a man that was walking through during the Civil War, walking through a cemetery. And he came upon a tombstone, and the tombstone said, remember, friend, as you pass by, as you are now, so once was I. As I am now, soon you will be. Prepare for death and follow me. And the guy said, sandstone. So he took out his sword, and here's what he wrote on the backside of it. To follow you, I'm not content until I know which way you went. And this is a song I heard, and I like all types of music. I'm like Samuel was. But this song just kind of touched me about heaven. We're going to talk about it. Look at this. Go ahead and put the thing up first. Watch this.
Staring out the window as a storm comes blowing fast across the field. Made me think about you, how the thunder made you shiver, and the lightning always scared you, does it still? I guess that's a silly question, cause there are no storms in heaven. Well, at least as far as anyone can tell. Sometimes I wonder, standing at your bedside, you were so concerned with leaving us behind. We held on to you tightly, and you told us you were worried that we'd be okay, as heaven is your mind. Do you know how much we miss you? Do you wish we were there with you? Do you get to think about us more? Oh, sometimes I wonder, sometimes I wonder. Do you ever see the sights and think this must be some fantastic dream? Can you wrap your mind around the things you see? Or is it more than you can comprehend to think today will never end and all is peace and joy eternally? And when you entered heaven, did you walk or did you break into a run? Even though you've never been there, did it feel like home already? And were you welcomed by the Father and the Son? And did you bow in humble reverence just to stand there in the presence? Did they take you in their arms in the sweet embrace? Oh, sometimes I want. Sometimes I wonder, sometimes I wonder. Ooh, sometimes I wonder.
Everybody say amen, isn't that good? Our text today, everybody stand up. Would you just stand up just for a moment? And that helps you sit down in just a moment. There is a scripture. Ben did a fantastic job on the book of James on practicality. And the very opposite of that is Paul's writing in the book of Ephesians, which is, he starts out so lofty that it's almost hard to grasp and to understand what he's saying. But one of the, in verse 21 of Ephesians 1, it says, far above, everybody say far above. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, above every name that's named, not only in this age, but two time zones here, not only in this age, but in the age to come. Everybody say far above one more time. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today. We ask you to open our eyes, Lord, of our heart, that we can understand more than just with our mind, but Lord, believe in our hearts. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Everybody said a good amen one more time. Amen. Look around. Somebody say, did you lose some weight? Just say something. Look at somebody say, did you lose some weight? In the first chapter of Ephesians, Paul spends the first part of it talking about our rights and our privileges in Christ Jesus. And I want you to hear this because it's very important that you hear this. He starts, I mean, this book starts off with a bang. I mean, it starts off as lofty as you want to start. It's probably the deepest book and the loftiest book that Paul wrote of all of his writings. And listen how it begins in Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. So it's lofty. Even as he chose us in him before the fountain. Just think of the thoughts he's throwing out here. I mean, it's one humongous thing after another. There was a book one time I read called God in Christ. And it was about, I don't know, it was a couple hundred pages. But I remember you could only read a paragraph. You'd have to stop and think it through. And it took me forever to read this book. And the book of Ephesians is like that. He throws all these humongous things at us. And it's every sentence is packed. Every part of a sentence is packed. Even as he chose us in him. Just think about all that. Before the fountain, you were chosen in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose, I mean, it's just fullest, the purpose of his will, to the praise and of his glorious grace, which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished, everybody say lavished, lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ. Is that the end? Oh, as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things in earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance. Everybody say inheritance. How many of you like inheritance? Do you like inheritance? You know, when someone you pass, you know, how many's ever got an inheritance from somebody you didn't even know? Let's see, anybody ever got an inheritance from somebody you didn't even know? None of us are so lucky. But an inheritance usually comes from somebody we know. And, you know, when the will is read and what you get, what you don't get, in him we have obtained an inheritance. Everybody say inheritance one more time. I just want you to know you do have an inheritance. We have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him, you also, when you heard of the word of truth, the gospel of our salvation, your salvation, believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee. The word guarantee means a down payment. How many's ever had to put a down payment on? So you had to put a down payment on something. And when you put a down payment on something, let's say that something is $100,000 and they require you to put a $5,000 down payment. Well, the $5,000 payment that you put down, it's what the rest of it's going to be, but it's just a small portion of it. Do you get it? It's not like it's something different than what the rest of it's going to be. A down payment is what the rest of it is, just a small portion of it. And so we, listen, we have received a small portion of what we're going to get. But we have received a portion. We have received the same thing that we're going to get. We just got a small amount of it. But we're going to get the full inheritance one day, but we have received a small portion of it. Come on, somebody. Who is the guarantee, the hope? We've been given the Holy Spirit, who is the small portion, the down payment of our inheritance until we acquire possession of all of it. To the praise of His glory. Come on, somebody. Isn't that good? So get this. I want to talk to you. So He just listed all of our benefits and all the things we're going to receive in that age to come. But we have received a down payment, a small portion of it on this side. You don't have to go to heaven to taste heaven. Come on. You don't have to go to heaven to experience heaven. I remember one night, if many of you know, I love playing with tractors. That's just a joy of my life. Grew up on them when I was a little boy, and I just love playing with tractors. And so one night, I'm out in out in Central somewhere, and I've got a three-quarter ton diesel truck, GMC, with an Allison transmission. And I've got a 35-foot gooseneck on there, and I got it loaded down with equipment. And so I'm out at this lady's house, and she says, "Oh, honey, it's hard as a rock. You can turn around out there. Just pull right out here." So I go out, and I sink to my axle. Come on, somebody. I mean, I sink to my axle. And so it's about 20-some degrees, one of the coldest nights of the year. And I'm out there in this pitch black. There's no light. I've got my iPhone. And I got my, you know, little thing. I'm trying to look at things, what I'm going to do. And so, the more I try, the deeper I get in it. And so I'm sitting there. And so finally, you know, I've got it, you know, in one of those, you got four-wheel drive, and then you got low four-wheel drive. So I said, this is a situation for low four-wheel. So I put it down in low four-wheel drive. And so, long story short, I had to unload all the equipment, pick the trailer up off the tractor, pick the tractor, da, da, da. I got it out of there, and I started heading home, and I turned the little knob back to, you know, to two-wheel drive. Well, you go from low four to four-wheel drive to two-wheel drive. Well, guess what? It wouldn't go back to two-wheel drive. And I'm driving down the road. How many's driven 50 miles an hour in four-wheel drive low? Have you ever driven 50 miles an hour in four-wheel drive low? Your temperature rises real fast and noises begin to happen. So I pull off and I try everything. I turn it back. And finally, guess what I finally do? I finally read the manual. Come on, somebody. You remember that manual they gave you when you bought your car? Remember, you're there with the salesman. He's going over this and this, and here's how you do this. And listen, if you have any other questions, the manual is in the glove compartment. How many of you have ever read the manual in your glove compartment? You have read the manual? Few of you are unique. All right, I'll just say it that way. I never read the manual. You know what all I cared about? Here's how you put it in drive. Here's how you turn the key. Where's the radio? There's the radio. And how do you do the defrost? Okay. And the windshield. So I got all the basics down. What more do you need? Because I'm driving down the road. I can get to where I've got. Listen, and a lot of us is the same way with our Christianity. We know the basics, but that's all we know. That's as far as we've got. We know how to put it in gear. We know how to get from one place to the other. We know how to play the radio. We know how to go on and on. And that's a lot of us. I'll never forget one time I was standing. We fly a lot. We used to fly a lot overseas and da-da-da. And so I accumulated a lot of miles. And I remember one day they sent me a letter in the mail and said, "You have now become some status." I forgot, either gold or platinum. Something in American Airlines. And says, "And you have got all these privileges." And they sent me this booklet. Did I read the booklet? So one day I'm standing, we're in some place, and I remember it was a long, long line. And I've been standing there a long time. And then, you know, I'm in the average Joe line. I'm in the economy line. I'm sitting there. And over on the other side is, everybody say, it's the first class line. So I'm watching everybody zip through. You know, I've been here about 15, 20 minutes. They're zipping through the first class line. And there comes a stewardess out, and she's handing each of us a booklet on the benefits of being an elite member. Same booklet I received, you know, years prior. So having nothing better to do, you know, 20, 30, 40 minutes standing in line, I start reading the booklet. If you are an elite member, you can go through first class line. I picked my luggage up. I got out of the average Joe line, put my chin up, and holier than thou walk, come on, right on down the first class line, gave my ticket. Come on, somebody. And I tell you, when we go through LAX, we go through LAX a lot. You gotta see, LAX has its own, not only you go through the first class line, it's got its own security line for first class people. Come on, somebody. Did I know that before? No. You know what? Because I'd never seen. A lot of people are like that with their faith. All they know is the basics. All they know, they're standing in the average Joe line, just like the rest of the earth. They're standing in the average, and they don't know. Listen, there's a first class line over here. Come on, somebody. Of your inheritance, the Bible says. So one of the keys is Paul begins to write about it. He begins to talk. He said, listen, there is things you need to understand. God needs to show you need to understand it. So I just don't want to know the basics. How to turn the key, start the engine, you know, put the windshield wipers on, put it in drive, da da. And most Christians are in the same boat. They come Sunday after Sunday, but they function just like the rest of the world. They function just like their workmates and their neighbors and the people they meet in the school and all the rest. They just live the same way. And God doesn't want us to live the way. He wants us to investigate the surpassing power of the resurrection of the cross of Jesus Christ. And beginning to learn and understand. I like Ephesians 1. Listen to what it says. Ephesians 1 says, for this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may get you to open up the glove compartment and read the man. Come on, somebody. May give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your heart enlightened. Get out of the average Joe line. Get over in the first class. It says the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places. Come on, everybody say, far above. All rule and authority, power and dominion above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. Let me read that again. Far above all rule and authority, power and dominion. That's, he said, I want you to understand. He said, I've got to get your eyes open to this. He said, I've got to get you understanding. I need you to read the manual to find out some things. A lot of us, we sing about the power. We testify, you know, we talk about it. We amen it, but we don't testify because we've not experienced the power of his life. See, he says, listen, God wants to invade your circumstances of our life. Just like he invaded that tomb that day when Jesus was laying there and that body was dead 3 days and three nights and the Spirit of God raised him from the dead. He says the same power that when he rose Jesus from the dead, he wants to invade our lives. So that's what he puts. And this gets lofty in something. But listen, he wants us to understand and experience it. But we end up living basic lives, standing in the Every Joe line, driving down the road, low four-wheel drive, 50 miles an hour, everything's screaming. But he wants us to know the surpassing power of the resurrection. And to know our inheritance. That is our inheritance. There is an inheritance. Someone died and left us an inheritance. And so he said he wants us to know, what did Jesus accomplish? Look at verse 20 and 21 again. It says that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead, seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule. Listen, two times. Far above all rule and authority. Not a little bit above. Not a few feet above. Come on, somebody. Everybody say far above. Far above all rule. Any ruler you want to name, all authority, name any authority you want to name in any realm of your life, any authority, and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the age, two time zones. We're the one we're living in right now and the eternal one. So we're not just talking about heaven. We're talking about right now also. Everybody say amen. We're not just talking about heaven, But we're talking about right now. He says, in name, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. So we're talking about two time zones. Watch this. Verse 20 says, seated far above. I think I read that too fast. Let me slow down. Far above. Jesus is now sitting far above all rulership, all authority, all dominion, all power. In other words, no matter how high somebody is in this world, there's somebody higher. Listen, because there is somebody sitting far above all rule, all dominion, all power, all authority, which means whatever you're dealing with, whoever you're dealing with, does not have the last word. And when you begin to experience your inheritance, that you are connected to somebody that is above the somebody that's over you. That you are connected to somebody that has the final word of whoever has tried to do the final word over your life. It doesn't matter whether they're demonic, doesn't matter whether they're earthly, because however big they are, however mighty they are, there is somebody sitting high above, far above. Come on, somebody. Way up higher. When you understand that, that means they, what they say is a word, not the final word. What they say is a thought, just not the final thought. What they say is an action. It's not the final action. Because I know somebody, and you know somebody, who is now seated in the executive chair, far above. Everybody say far above one more time. So, what do you understand that? Which is why you can't afford to live a depressed life. Why you cannot afford, listen, I'm not, by nature, a depressed person. But even if I am, listen, I've learned this in my life. Either I'm getting up or I'm up. Come on, somebody. I just don't stay down. I don't lay down because we know somebody who can overrule somebody who looks like they're ruling you. Did I say that too fast? If God is for you, who can be against you? You know, somebody who has the final authority, somebody. I want, you know, look at Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8 was a story of a woman who had earthly authority. She was the end of her line as far as everything concerning her. It was the end. Watch this. Soon afterward, he went through a city and villages proclaiming and bringing the good news, kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out. And Joanna, the wife of Joseph. I don't have the right scripture. I can already tell. There are many other writers. Keep going. Let me see if I got the right one or not. When a great crowd, no, that's not the right one. Let me just tell you the story. They got the right scripture I wrote down here because it says Luke chapter 8, and that's not the right one. It's the story of the woman caught in adultery. Remember, they drag her out. They throw her before Jesus and said, we caught her in the very act. Where was the guy? Everybody say, where was the guy? You didn't see the guy. But they throw her and they say, what do you say that we do to her? Now, he is outnumbered. He's outnumbered completely. And imagine this. Imagine where he's at. And the Bible says he began to write in the sand and he said, or the dirt, and he says, he that is without sin, let him cast the first stone. And he said, they all went out. Oh, that's, let me tell you something. She was in a situation where they had absolutely, legally, that everything was set up exactly like it was supposed to be. And the Bible says, listen, they didn't know they were out. He was an unemployed carpenter. That's who he was. His status in life was an unemployed carpenter. He was a carpenter out of work. And here were all the religious leaders. He was outnumbered. And the Bible says, listen, this woman got connected to somebody that had more authority over the people that had authority over her. Come on, somebody. That should remind me. Next Sunday, we're having a business meeting. Come on, somebody. I just remembered to announce that. I don't know how I connected the two. How you break my, I was supposed to announce that. We have a business meeting next Sunday. But she got connected to somebody that had more authority than the people that had authority over her life. When you understand that, when you try to understand that Jesus was outnumbered, but listen, because you need to understand this. Authority versus power. This is where a lot of people miss it. Because they don't understand the difference between authority and power. Authority trumps power every day. authority trumps power. There were more Pharisees than there was Jesus. There was more authority, in fact, what they could or couldn't do, than Jesus. But authority, let me just say it this way. You saw what's happening, you know, LSU got to the Sweet 16. Everybody saw that? You went to the Sweet 16. Remember that brought you back the days of Shaq and when we had a basketball team. And I don't know if they paid them all back then or not, but we had a basketball team back then. But you remember, you saw what happened with Shaq a while back. You saw Shaq bought a yacht. You saw where he bought a yacht and he had a contest online about naming it to help him name it. Remember, the best one was one guy wrote in, name it Foul Shot. You'll never sink it. Come on, somebody. I thought that was the best one I ever read. But if you're watching the final, the Sweet 16 right now, or going down to the Final Four, you ever notice you've got these huge, that one guy was named, what was the guy that was 7'6"? I forgot what was his name. What was his name? What was his name? Yao Ming. He's 7'6", whatever he was, he played for one of the college teams. And he had humongous guys. If you ever gone to a basketball game or especially if you go to a pro game, if you ever stand on the court and look, you're looking like you're looking at trees. These guys are humongous. But you know what? If you look at them, you see these little zebras, you know, the guys in the black and white shirts. And they got a little whistle in their mouth. And guess what? Listen, let me show you the difference between power and authority. Who do you think makes more money? No, not the zebra. Who makes more money? The players. Who's stronger? Who's bigger? Who could mop the floor up with the zebras if they want? But guess what happens? I was going to have a whistle, but I didn't have a... who can do one of those? There we go. When you hear that, guess what happens? Everybody stops. It's not because that little zebra is sitting there, that little referee sitting there saying, I'm more powerful than you. I can smack you on the ground. I make more money than you. I'm more popular. None of that stuff. You know why he can do that? He has authority. And when he blows that whistle, I don't care. ESPN doesn't have a commercial ready. They got to get a commercial ready. I don't care what a coach thinks about it. I don't care what the players think about it. It doesn't matter. All authority is given to that referee. And you know what he can do? If it's a flagrant foul of some sort, he can look at that guy and go, just like that. And guess what? That big old player has to leave the floor and go back in the dressing room. So when you begin to deal with authority, that's where you understand it. Because while they don't have greater power, they have greater authority. How many know that sometimes you can have a better, bigger, more powerful car than the policeman? But when the lights come on, guess what happens? Danny, how many tickets did you have when you were young? You told me that one time. 18. He had 18 tickets before he was 18 years old. Come on, somebody. Danny was teaching me how to get out of a ticket. He said, yeah, you could always... I don't know if he did a very good job. I've come on somebody. Look what Matthew 28:18 says when Jesus rose from that. Jesus came and said to them, what did he say? Come on, somebody. What did he say? What did he say? All authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. All authority is given. That means every time Jesus blows the whistle, everything stops. That means no matter what situation, he didn't say, now guys, I want you to know, some authority has been given to me. I can't do much in America, but over in the Middle East, I can do a whole bunch of stuff. Maybe in the spiritual realm, I can do a lot, but I can't do anything for you in your business world. He said, everybody say it with me, say all. All authority is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go therefore. If you ever see a go therefore, find out what it's there for. Come on, somebody. Go therefore, because all authority has been given me in heaven and earth. When it comes to authority, that's a different story. Listen, you know somebody who has veto power over every situation of your life. You know somebody, I like a Colossians who, listen to this, on the cross, Jesus Christ disarmed the rulers. What it says in Colossians 2:15. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them in open shame by triumphing over them. Let me tell you something about the devil. The devil pulls a gun on you. What he doesn't want you to know is he ain't got no bullets in his gun. Because he's being disarmed. He is under authority under the Lord Jesus Christ. I just remember, you know, one of the keys is, one time I was reading about Smith Wigglesworth, and he was teaching on dealing with the devil and dealing with your enemy and dealing with spiritual warfare. And he talked about one time, he said he was standing at a bus stop, and he's waiting on a bus, and he said a woman came up and she had a little puppy dog. And this little puppy dog, she only lived a block or two from the bus stop, and this little puppy dog followed her to the bus stop. And this woman was going, "Meow, little Betsy, go back home, go back home, little Betsy." And the dog just, you know, just stood there. "Little Betsy, go back home, go back home." And said Smith Wigglesworth, who was a great man of faith, he said he finally went, "Get out of here!" Come on, somebody. That old dog tucked its tail and shoom, took off. Let me tell you, if you're going to fight the devil like you're the third monkey on the ramp to Noah's Ark. Come on, somebody. I told you, just preaching once in a while, you can have a great old time. You think I'm the best thing since sliced bread and da-da-da-da. Satan was disarmed at the cross. And Jesus sits us in far above all principalities and powers. And this was not, listen, whatever situation you're in, here's the thought I always keep in my brain. Whatever situation I find myself in, I always think this. Whatever it is, this is not the final authority. This is not the final word. It may be even a bad word. It's just not the final word. It may be a bad situation, but it's just not the final word. I know somebody that is, everybody say, far above all rule, all authority in heaven. It may be bad, but listen, I know devil, all your demons and all your followers, you're not the last word in my life. I remember when the Titanic went down, and one of the persons in the water was a pastor, and he had gotten one of the, life jackets. And he saw an elderly woman that didn't get one. He took it off and he gave it to her. And I remember that the survivors talked about it. Says, one of the guys says, "Pastor, whatever, you're going to go down." And he looked at him and says, "Even if I go down, I go up." Come on, somebody. Even if I go down. Listen, death is not the end. The devil no longer has the keys of death. Jesus took those from him. And so now, even if I go down, I go up. Paul wrote about it. He says, listen, if my time and departure is at hand, every person on earth has a time. And so listen, death no longer has the victory in our lives. Why? I don't know. You know, everybody wants to go to heaven. Nobody wants to go right now. Everybody wants to go to heaven. We sing about it. We shout about it. We glorify it, but we don't go right now. I'm going to tell you, when you get there, you ain't coming back. You don't want to come back. It's not that you don't get to come back. Even if you did, you wouldn't want to come back. So, I mean, on out. So, 1 Thessalonians said this, so you can say this: rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Because you can understand now that He has control over everything. Basic Christianity life, go to church on Sundays, nothing beyond that. But who doesn't? When you start investigating your inheritance, when you begin to get into the manual and you begin to read all. Oh, and you know what I learned about my truck? You had to stop it, put it in park, and then you could go from, I mean, just, I just read it. Dull. I was sitting in a church parking lot over on over on some road. I remember, and I read this, if you ever put it on four-wheel drive low, you have to stop your truck, put it in park, and then you can put it at two-wheel drive. I just read it right there. Guess what happened? It worked. And sometimes when you are in a situation in your life, you get the Bible out. Look right there. I told you one time, Jennifer was our daughter. She was one of the backup singers here. And I remember one time, Jasmine and I weren't arguing. We were just having a intense fellowship. All right, we say that. And from the back seat, we taught our kids, we put the word of God in our kids since they were little. In the back seat, this little voice says, be kind, compassionate one to another. I thought of all the times that my kids, you know the word of God. Sometimes when you're in your house and you're cabinet cursing, you know what cabinet cursing is? That's when you slam in cabinets. That's cabinet cursing. And God, and all of a sudden you begin to read the word of God. And I'm going to tell you, you begin to investigate and you begin to learn things you never knew about. But you learn that his cross and his resurrection has given you authority because he sits far above. But he sits far above. But watch this truth, if you've ever read it. Watch Ephesians 6. Even when we were dead and our trespasses made us alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Jesus Christ. He is seated high above all authority, all rule, all dominion, all power. But guess who's sitting right beside him? Did I read that wrong? And raised you, put your name right there, up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's why I'm not having any victory, because you don't know where you're seated. When you begin to see yourself where he sees you, where is Christ seated? Far above all authority, rule, dominion, power. Where am I seated? Far above all authority, power, dominion. Does that mean, no problem. No. That's so level. What it means is this: no matter what circumstance you find yourself in, you can be victorious in it. But see, we've done victorious, meaning that we never suffer, that we never go through things, that we never. Now, listen, yesterday, Jasmine is gone, and how many know I've been trying out all the different restaurants? So I call Sonny's restaurant, and you can hear there's a lot going on. 7 o'clock at night, there's a lot of activity at Sonny's restaurant. So I go there, there's two or three people deep waiting to get their to-go orders. There's these, you saw those people come in with bags and they go deliver the food now? You saw that? Man, there was two people sitting with bags to deliver. I said, I know what I'm doing next time. Come on. They're going to deliver the food to you. And there's this girl behind the counter. She's pregnant. She's probably 6 months pregnant. You ought to have seen her. It was like she was on a beach with her feet up. And I mean, she was flowing, getting this. Oh yeah, no, you gonna sit here, this girl? But yeah, oh, hey, honey, she was answering the phone, I gave her a great big tip. I mean, it was good to give people tips. When I got up there, I said, "You impress me." I'd have been, most people have been cussing people. They'd have been threatening people. They'd have told me, go down to that other restaurant. I never saw a woman multitask and doing this and hey, honey, and just as sweet can be. Come on, somebody. And I don't know why I got off on that, but that was a great thing last night. And she, listen, get out of the economy line and go over in the first class line. Everybody say amen. All right, musicians, come on back up, would you? Come on, all the rest of you. But when you find out that your rights and your privileges, you're seated with Christ in heavenly places, you begin to understand when God speaks something to you, even if you're 100 years old, you better go paint the room blue, put on a little canal over whatever, put that stuff on there, and get ready because a baby's on its way. Because, listen, no matter who says what in your life, it may be a thought, but it's not the final thought. I don't know what situation you're at. Maybe you're facing some things that you don't have a clue on how to deal with it. But listen, that's okay. But you need to come to the place where you understand whatever it is I'm facing. You know, Jesus, did I skip that scripture? Jesus in John 19. Put that one up there. I think I skipped that one. You could put it John 18 or 19. I forgot which one it was. Jesus stood before Pilate and he looked at Pilate, and Pilate, he wouldn't answer him. And Pilate said, "You will not speak to me. Don't you know that I have all authority? I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you." This is what Jesus says. "You'd have no authority of me at all unless it had been given you from above." Come on, somebody. See, it didn't mean, see, Jesus went through a tough time. Jesus was crucified. That was the will. Sometimes we will go through tough times, but you don't go through it as a victim. You go through it saying, hey, there can be no authority. You can have no authority against me whatsoever unless the one in high authority had given it to you. Because there is one that has far above all power and dominion and authority and rule and reign. And will we go? Absolutely. Will we suffer? Absolutely. I've got a brother-in-law that's on life support in Hawaii, of all places, right now. And whether he makes it, only God. Unless there's a miracle of God, it will not. But even if he goes down, he goes up. And we don't go through thinking, I've been victim, I've been this and that. Listen, Jesus stood before that day knowing this was it. But he said, listen, you can have no authority against me whatsoever unless it was given you from the higher authority. Because there's somebody sitting in the heavens who has veto power over everything you're doing. You know, one time many, many years ago, there was a court case. And a man was convicted of murder and sentenced to be executed. And some of his, he was a very, very well-connected man. And he knew some people that knew some people that knew the President of the United States. And they got a presidential pardon for this guy. And when it was brought, and news got to him in the cell, he said, let me talk to the warden. And the warden came in and says, I refuse the pardon. And the warden said, I don't know if you can do that. It's a presidential pardon. Written out, done, it's been done. You've been pardoned. The guy said, I don't accept it. So the family members that had done it just thought he is just out of his mind. So they took it to court. It went all the way to the Supreme Court. Is a presidential pardon, watch this, is a presidential pardon valid even when the recipient will not receive it? And the United States Supreme Court ruled it is not. If the person that it was given to will not receive it, then it's of no value. The guy was executed. And the same is true with us today. If I had not opened that book, Mark would have been working on my transmission about every month after I burn it up. Because I didn't read the book and believe the book. I could have read that. It says, put the truck in park and then you... I don't believe that. I don't accept that. I think. So what happens is this morning, you can amen it and say it, but until you say, yes, Lord. And you start investigating your own life and what the Lord wants to do. And that I want you to close your eyes, would you? What line are you standing in your Christian life? Just think, what line are you standing in? Are you in the average Joe line? Just showing up at church and getting excited, enjoying the music and the preaching? Or are you, this is just one meal. And you're just going to take this and then you're going to investigate. You're going to claim it. You're going to get God's word in your life and in your heart to where you began to move in the things of God. And you begin to really believe that there is one you're connected to that's sitting far above. And not only is he sitting there, but you have been seated with him in heavenly places. And so you can live a life not where you don't have any problems. You can live a life, though, in all circumstances you can give thanks. In every situation of life, you can say, it's not the final word. Until he says it's right. Until he says it's over, it's not over. Until he says it's final, it's not final. Until he says whatever, it's not over. So I want everybody, eyes closed. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't know that Jesus has given you a pardon. The Bible says very clearly that Jesus came to die for sinners. To die for those that literally... their lives are all messed up. That's who he died for. He didn't die for the healthy. He died for those that were sick. And he told them one day, he said, listen, I'm not come to call the righteous to repentance, but the unrighteous, those that know they're not right with God. And this morning, maybe that's you to know this, and that Jesus is calling you. Jesus loves you. There's a pardon, but it's invalid unless you accept it. It's no good unless you say, you know what? Thank you, Jesus, for dying in my place. I didn't know such, I thought becoming a Christian meant becoming a good, goody two shoes, just becoming real good and not doing any bad things. I didn't know there's such an inheritance. I didn't know there's all this there for those that love the Lord, all those that gave their life. And so I just want to ask you a question. Maybe you're here today And you've never really knew that there's so much in from the Lord in your life, for your life. And maybe your life's messed up. Maybe you're in a place where you say, you know, I need help. I need somebody to change my life. I need somebody to touch. I need somebody to help me. And if that's you this morning, I'm not going to call you out. I'm just going to have you raise your hand so I can pray with you. Would you do that? If that's here this morning and you want to, God bless you. God bless you. Somebody else this morning? Somebody else, you just need God to do something in your life. You just need God to touch you. Anybody else with that one this morning? All right. I want everybody to pray with us. Say, dear Lord, thank you for dying in my place. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for taking care of all my sins by dying on the cross. Thank you for saving me. I confess I am a sinner and I need your help. I believe you died in my place. You shed your blood. And if I receive you and believe in you, that I'll have eternal life. In Jesus' name, everybody said a good amen today. Can you give Lord a good great clap offering? Would you? Come on, everybody stand up, would you?